gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle, or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today. That might make me feel better. That might be the only thing. I think I'm going to buy a Saturn today.
Really? You'll have so much use for that in Manhattan.
Hey, Chris.
What?
Oh, you know how people have been enjoying Mama's Wacky Madcap Adventures in New York?
Yeah.
Where I moved on a box wine-induced whim because Ed Schultz told me to?
Yeah.
You know the old saying, it's only funny till someone loses an eye?
Yeah. You lost an eye.
Yeah, it's not really funny anymore.
Yeah.
Although those of you listening that hate me, and you know there are some, right to say they hate me, but they just want to hear what I'm going to say next.
Right.
You will enjoy this, as will people that enjoy dark humor. Mama's Madcap Adventures in New York, Chris and Rebecca, have turned into kind of a Quentin Tarantino film now.
Yeah.
Kind of a little darkly, violently funny
point. Do you need Harvey Keitel to come and clean up the car?
This could have ended with, it was close to ending, actually, with someone stabbing me in the chest with a needle in an emergency room somewhere in New York. Let me explain, because many people are thinking, Mama, what are you talking about? So, yeah, you know how, okay, so here's the darkly funny part. This is the isn't it ironic file part, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mama moved to New York, partially to do more TV.
Right.
To do more TV appearances.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And that's been going well for you.
Ah, yes. Just last week on Larry King on Wednesday, Joy Behar on Thursday, Ed Schultz on Friday. I'm booked on Ed Schultz again this week.
You think you'll make it?
No. Mama got into a fight with a fireplace mantle on Friday night,
yeah.
And the fireplace mantle won. Producer Chris will put the picture up on StephanieMiller.com.
It is now up. It is,
I
just put it up.
Yeah.
Your injury is illustrated now. It's probably not the best thing to look at while eating breakfast.
No, I wouldn't. I can't believe I even sent that for you to put up.
But it's in the it's in the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And the first thing people are thinking, drinking related, domestic violence related.
Drinking related is the first thing Rebecca asked me.
That's the sad part, Rebecca. Don't you at least it would be more entertaining if I were having fun beforehand or something.
I know. Your eye looks so gnarly. I told Chris you look like a really hot chick with a black eye.
Thank you, Rebecca.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Kind of wildly funny for somebody that moved here to do TV, huh?
Can't you wear an eye patch?
Here's my other problem, because as you know, I'm new here, I don't know where to get anything, so I literally have been on the phone yesterday going, where do you get an eye patch?
Dwayne Reed.
Can I go on Ed Schultz with a parrot and an eye patch? Will that look...
Arr. As long as you say arr.
Because someone asked me, actually, can't they shoot from farther away? I'm like, well, no, you're standing there with them. Like, it's like Tootsie. Back up! How far? Cleveland!
Yeah, it need to be really far.
Well, yeah. Wear an eye patch.
I see I'm laughing now. I've mostly spent the week dissolved in a puddle of tears. And
Well, tears out of one eye, because you
depression.
Can't produce tears out of the other one.
Yeah, the one eye. Yeah. No, here's the thing, and I know you'll think, well, first of all, as we all know, I'm too big a loser to have it be domestic violence oriented, because I live alone.
Unless it was your dogs.
No, my dogs did not beat me.
Mm.
No, but it's so, tell grandma you fell off the swing, isn't it, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Like, no one in an emergency room anywhere would believe me. That, yeah.
You know, even...
Anyway, it actually was exhaustion related. I had fallen asleep and I on the couch after the Ed Schultz show on Friday night. I was exhausted. It'd been a long week.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have, it's a little gas fireplace, and I went to turn the gas off, and apparently, and you do have to hand it to me, Chris, that's hard to do that to yourself, if you take a look at that picture.
Yeah.
That is hard. I must have caught myself right on the corner of the, and there was blood, there was a fair amount of blood everywhere, but here's the, Rebecca, tell me if you would have made the same choice. This is the, what do you do?
Okay.
Scenario. So, you're a big loser alone in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weekend. Do you go to an emergency room, or do you think you'd end up dead?
In your case, you would end up dead. But if it was me, I would have gone to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Did
well,
you go?
I was alone, and it was the middle, and there's no, we know how there's no one to go. Does this look that bad? Do I need to go somewhere? So I just got ice and went to bed.
Oh, Stephanie.
You
yeah,
really do
need us there. You need
yeah.
to go to the
And I don't really
doctor.
Know. It looked like it might. It was one of those, oh, does it need a stitch? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
anyway.
Stank eye to the max.
What's that?
It's stank eye to the max.
Stank eye.
Well, I talked to my eye doctor in L.A. over the weekend because it's the thing. I've just got here. I don't really know anybody. And so I'm, if by the way, I can get into this eye doctor this morning, bye-bye, everybody. Good luck. Good luck to you with the rest of the show.
What?
I was a little, I think it's the pooling of the blood in the white parts of the eye, which I apologize if you haven't seen the picture yet at stephaniemiller.com. But, yeah, it's because it's like a, Rebecca, have you noticed it's sort of like a lava lamp now? Like the blood keeps moving.
It's all
it was
sorts
on the
of
inside.
Wounds to one eye. It's like it's, below you know, and in the eye, and you got to see it. It's
yeah,
it's, so
it's like
nasty.
A Rorschach test. Please go to stephaniemiller.com, won't you? And because it was on the inner side of the white part, and now the outside is totally pooling, and it's it's very.
It's in a pool of its own sick.
Yeah, not sure how long that's going to take to clear up, but there goes Mama's television
all
career,
right.
Everybody.
It's not permanent, Stephanie. People get hit in the eye all the time.
Well, that's what the eye doctor said, if you're having vision problems, but if you're not,
yeah.
It just takes time and
right.
blah, and so I...
So your television
anyway,
career is not over.
What's that?
Your television career is not over. It just needs to heal.
You know what? I'll look like Sarah Palin, won't I, Bex? I'll look like I'm winking constantly. I'll just keep it. I won't do that.
That might work
be like,
for you.
Stop winking at me. Stop it.
Oh, man. I wish you to have a bad weekend, but not this bad.
I know. See, I was thinking for people that hate me like you. You'd
yeah,
be like,
exactly.
Wow.
That's really awful.
I have a comment from John on the live blog. He says, yeah. Geez, Steph, you look like a badass. Wear it proudly.
New York's toughened me up already.
That's
yeah,
right.
There you go. There you go.
Between that and the healthcare debate, I hate everybody now. I hate everybody. I hate my life.
Aww.
I hate the world. I hate Democrats. I hate Republicans. I hate everybody. I hate mostly Joe Lieberman, douche, but we'll get to all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
We have a big show as usual, though. Rude Pundit, we have Eric Bollard of Media Matters, and we have, oh, I can use a little Tom Kenny this morning. SpongeBob.
If you're still here, you've threatened to leave us now.
Yeah, Tom Kenny may be hosting Hour 3. With his new song, Don't Be a... It's Christmas.
Don't be a... Well, yes.
I guess that wouldn't have any effect on Joe Lieberman because he doesn't celebrate Christmas, but... Okay. They cleaned it up for the kids. It's Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas.
Yeah, because it's SpongeBob
the
singing
song
it.
Is Don't Be a... It's Christmas. All right. Mom, a little concerned about, it's the bruising and there's a cut and, but you said, Chris, and I think I agree, the best feature is the blood red, the whites of the eyes.
Yeah, that's attractive.
Oh, you know what Chris asked me, Rebecca, and this is what a loser I am. I'm taking a picture of my own eye in the morning in the studio here. I don't know why I feel the need, because I share everything else about my pathetic life
right.
with my listeners. I'm like, let me share this grossness with everybody.
I'll make it.
Because I thought people won't believe me. Like, I'm just making this up. Or,
right.
Oh, it's another funny story. Oh, mama.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'll make it your default pick on MySpace.
People love that.
Oh, good. That's
good.
A hot pick.
Good. Yes.
Great.
Yeah, it's really not pretty. So anyway, that was, yeah, and I actually had all these plans. You know how I also moved to New York, Chris, so I don't have to get up at...
At stupid o'clock.
And go to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
Yeah, so I actually had all these invitations and parties this weekend, and that's, yes, mama.
You got a shiner for the holidays.
I was actually supposed to, this will be a little tease, I was supposed to go out with a very famous man.
Really?
Who? I can't say.
Oh, come on.
But it's,
what?
Don't drop that bomb and then run.
Sounds like...
I've got to find out some details about some things, and then I'll let you know. From a very famous family. A very
The Kennedys.
Yeah, Kennedy.
No, listen, don't start with me.
The Rothschilds.
No, but I did have, by the way... By the way, can you believe I live in Hollywood? My house is in Hollywood. I had the best star sighting ever. The best New York star sighting yesterday.
Who?
Guess.
There are a million people. I don't know.
The best New York... All right, I told you I already saw Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm the
Ed
last
Koch.
Time I was here. No. Okay, so that's the best female New York celebrity sighting. Rebecca, come on. Who is the best male?
Somebody affiliated with New York? Governor
you,
Patterson.
Yes, you would associate New York with him. Right, walked right by
Agati.
Street, yes.
You saw Agati.
I believe he's dead, Rebecca. But otherwise, that was a really
Gotti
good
Gotti Jr.
No. No. Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh!
I was walking my dogs, and he walked right by me. Here's a celebrity technique. So he had both his kids' hands.
Yeah.
He was walking his kids, and he was singing to them. And I think, here's just my speculation, Bex, is he's not maybe that good a dad. I think that's just a technique so people don't talk to him.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
You see? Who are you people? I'm singing to my children here. Why are you talking to me? Because you really had to stop yourself from going, Jerry!
Did you talk to him? Did you try?
No.
Were you like, Jerry?
Jerry! I wanted to. But I could tell that was his technique. I am singing. I'm in the middle of a song for my children. What kind of people interrupt a man singing to his children? All right. And I forgot I had one last week, though.
What?
And, Bex, this is going to come back to haunt you, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What?
Because this was not just a celebrity sighting, Chris.
Uh-huh.
This was a celebrity talking to.
Oh.
Last week when I was at CNN, I can't remember which, Larry King or Joy Behar, guess who I ran into and talked to? Christiane Amanpour.
She's awesome.
For a news geek like me, that was
oh,
like,
no.
Then that, Rebecca, I did blurt out. I couldn't help myself. I was in the lobby, and I was walking out, and so was she, and I was like, oh, you're Christiane Amanpour.
Christine?
Christiane, I said.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I probably did say Christine because I was very
right. Excited. I know. Oh no.
Don't, and if you can think of a stupider thing to blurt out to a celebrity, that would be it, right? Like they don't know who they are.
Right.
Like, thank you, because it's not on the Chiron every time I'm on TV.
The name of my show isn't Amanpour.
Did she know who you were?
Yes, she appeared to, but this is why it will come back to haunt me, because you know how this is. Like, you know, you've had to deal with this before when I come into work with something scribbled on a Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkin.
Oh, no.
And I say, back, I ran into whatever, and they promised they're going to do the show. And then what and then what happens when you call? Because that's what I said.
They say,
she said, oh, hi, Stephanie. And I said, oh, my God, we'd love to get you on the radio show. She said, oh. Well, you know, it was that celebrity.
Right,
you know,
when
that
we
nice
call,
call
they say,
Chris?
Stephanie, who?
Yeah. call my people, is what she said.
Yeah, so she did the old, oh, well, yes, that sounds okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know what I mean? It's just, it was sort of the non-blow-off blow-off.
Right.
So, Vex, explain what will happen when you call Christiane Amanpour's office this morning and say,
this is the Stephanie Miller Show. We'd like to book Christiane Amanpour as a guest, blah, blah, blah. And
Stephanie
they say, and then they say, Stephanie, who?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, your show is what? And you were with who?
Send us a little information
and
on your little show.
And then she'll say, but no, she talked to Christiane, and then is that what this restraining order is about this morning that we're already looking into?
Right. And they say, we'll be right back with you. And then they
now they're
going to
give her a
back to us.
Right. Now there's going to be a separate elevator for the next time I'm at CNN, which will be like a millennium from now when my eye heals. But
yes.
At some point.
Yeah, they'll shove you in the freight elevator.
You know what I could do next time I'm on Larry King? Maybe wear a suspenders with just one suspender that could go up entirely over my eye.
That's a look.
Yeah, that's
really you know
really
what? I'm a problem solver.
You know what?
The worst of times.
We should hire a stylist to get you the best eye patch possible.
Mm-hmm. And one that's bedazzled?
Yes. Match it with
get
your outfit.
A bedazzler.
It could say, like, Steph on it.
Yeah.
We'll see how
or
much
it could say,
listeners.
Badass.
We'll see how much your listeners really love me. I want to see how many eye patches arrive at this studio before I leave. You remember last week I said I didn't have soap, Chris, and I got
right.
a whole box of soap.
Oh, you did? Good. Okay.
Yeah. Any, eye surgeons listening, that would also be helpful.
Great.
Oh,
but they have to be New York based, right?
Oh, and then you didn't tell me the cherry on top. So, you know, because, you know, the expression, it's only funny until someone loses an eye, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Either is that more on point or the when it rains, it pours. Is that a little more on point?
Well, that was my weekend.
Because while that's happening, Chris calls me, and then my realtor in L.A., where, see, Mom is trying to get her house rented so she can kick Squatter Chris out.
Yeah.
She calls and Chris calls to say it's raining in your kitchen.
Yeah, it rained on my computer.
Oh my God.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing those renters didn't probably work out. But we'll
probably
find
not.
Out.
Is there a hole in your roof?
There appears to be some leakage. Apparently, it's quite torrential. The downpour was in Los Angeles.
It was heavy this weekend.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. Fortunately, I have barely any expense here at all in Manhattan.
All right.
So that comes at perfect, really a perfect time for me. What with my eye replacement surgery coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to start calling you Sandy Duncan from now on.
By the way, the guy that owns the radio show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, may I say, a nice man for someone that's trying to kill me, but not really that compassionate. A true New Yorker. You remember, you guys, when I had to do the show when I barely had a voice? Because he was like, all right, because you need a day off, why?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this, he's like, okay. He stopped by yesterday, yeah, that's not so bad, okay. Like, literally, unless it was hanging on a spring, like those comedy glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would have to be here.
He's a walk it off.
All right.
Yeah, walk it off.
All right, 21 minutes after. Welcome to friggin' New York. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Long Beach, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, Pippa.
I cannot believe, Stephanie, you let me down. I cannot believe you did not call 911 and get cute firemen and EMTs to take care of you. What were you
true.
Thinking?
That was a missed social opportunity. You're right.
I tell you, you need to get some more action there. Yeah.
You know, Pippa, here's how vain I realized I am, though. Even over the weekend when I was just a complete mess. I did eyeliner and mascara on the other eye.
Oh, Stephanie.
And a little lipstick, just to take
did
the dogs
help?
To Central Park. Yeah.
Did
yeah.
it help?
Yeah, you know, made me feel a little better. Okay. Thank you, Pippa.
Bye.
I know. Chris, what the hell? Because I have, you know, sunglasses on anyway. I don't know. It was a mental thing.
Yeah. But,
Where might someone find the delightful picture of Mama's horrific eye injury over the weekend?
In the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com. It's the first one you see.
You know what will make me feel better
what?
Is a little bit of Tom Kenny, SpongeBob SquarePants' new song, Don't Be a Jerk. It's Christmas.
Ahoy, everybody. SpongeBob here. Christmas means presents and mistletoe, sharing and caring. So during this most festive season, please, don't be a jerk. Bring joy to the world, it's a thing to do. But the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
Yay!
Tom Kenny joins us in hour number three to shoot the... You know, and stuff.
He's good at
as
that.
As does, he's hilarious. As is Rude Pundit, who joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Aren't you the queen of crazy land? Everything's the opposite of everything. La-di-da-di-da.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, please. All right. The most important topic, as usual, of course, me. Let me just get the... So this is from a doctor, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, if you'd like to see Mama's horrific eye injury, it's up at StephanieMiller.com. Where?
In the gallery section.
Beautiful, beautiful. I got in a fight with a fireplace mantle and lost. No drinking wasn't involved.
Yep.
I wish it was. Okay. I am an optometrist, although anyone can write you and say they're an optometrist, but all right.
Yes, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
Tell Steph not to worry about the eye that much. Oh, boy. That red eye is called subconjunctival hemorrhage. Oh, that sounds really good.
A hemorrhage, that's just when you're bleeding.
The conjunctiva is a clear saran wrap-like covering over the white of the eye. The blood is trapped under that. I hope you're enjoying breakfast. it looks like hell, but it's actually not serious, no worse than a bruise. It's what you expect her to have, given that she banged her face. Like a bruise, it will gradually reabsorb.
Yeah.
For that matter, the bruising below the eye is there because the fluid released from the actual injury settled down there because of gravity, too. It will gradually absorb. Unless the eyeball itself absorbed the blow rather than the bone above the eye, there's no need to... Okay, so that cut above the eye is of more concern. Yeah, maybe I should have gone to the emergency room and got a stitch.
Well,
that'll give me character, that scar above my eye.
That was actually good news in that, it looks very, very normal. It's basically just like a bruise.
Mm-hmm. Yes, except I think the eyeball itself did absorb the blow. So I'll go to the eye doctor later, and I'll let you know how things...
At least it's not hanging by a whatever, against your cheek.
You know how something... You've been in radio for years and years, Chris, and sometimes one phone call or whatever just stands out in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the guy that called the old show about 1,000 years ago, but it just always stuck in my mind?
He said,
Stephanie, both of my eyeballs have calcified and been removed from my head.
Yes.
And, it's not often... Someone starts a conversation like that. Okay.
He was very jovial.
Yeah, he was. He seemed to be to have come to terms with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll have to see if that's something, an outcome for me.
Why does your mind immediately go to the worst?
If that was stuck in your head, you would think, I wonder if this eyeball is going to calcify and fall out.
It's not
going
to calcify. He had a condition.
Okay. So do I. God knows what it is. All right. We need some rudeness. That's what will magically make it all better.
Sleep off of the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. That eye is stunning. I swear I'm going to make it my wallpaper and have it stare at me all day.
Yes!
it's like creepy how the eye follows you.
Oh, it's like the poster for Requiem for a Dream.
It totally is. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Rude. The other thing is, besides the fact that I have a horrific eye injury, I hate everybody this morning, don't you?
Oh, as well you should. And yeah. There's listening to the talk shows this weekend, you just wanted to reach into the TV and be like Mo and just smack heads together.
Yes, and just... I've wanted to hit Joe Lieberman with a bag of flour and an anvil for quite some time. But,
what's it like being the insurance industry's whore?
I know.
I mean, when he waivers, like on Medicare for people 55 or older, I mean, did they threaten to make him cross-dress and go to a frat party?
Just for those of you that just tuned in, you and I talked last week, Rude, and I thought, this Senate compromise, I actually thought is pretty good. The Medicare thing, I should have known the douches like Lieberman were going to go, oh, no, I'm going to vote against that, too. It's like I'm thinking, okay, this is actually maybe a better compromise than the watered-down public option we were getting to. And, now I'm just like, screw all of them. We should do reconciliation and get single payer.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, and the thing is that anybody on the left was yelling this from the beginning, that it doesn't matter how much you compromise, they're not going to come over. When you're owned by somebody, you must do what your owner says, or you will get slapped on the snout.
Yeah. That's the thing is, the compromise, you're going, okay, because you got to bring the Liebermans and whatever aboard. Maybe it's better to come up with something that can, get the 60. And I know, and this weekend, right, it just implodes.
It was a surprise to a lot of the people that were in that room negotiating it. All of a sudden, both Nelson and Lieberman are on the air saying, yeah, we just said it was okay to go and get a score because they said, why don't we agree? And it's like any time that there seems to be some principle, somebody contacts them and they must abandon that principle. It's a great way to govern.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I've been, as you know, following this for quite some time. I don't know where the hell we are now. It's like, you're thinking, wow, there is no good reason to not vote for the Medicare expansion. And there he is on TV, Lieberman yesterday. He said, we don't need to keep adding on to the back of this horse, or we're going to break the horse's back and get nothing done. It's like, what?
Well, and there was no reason to vote against the public option that had been negotiated. It actually reduced the deficit. But
right.
because they couldn't spin it well enough that it would reduce the deficit, all of a sudden that had to get tossed out. Did you hear about the other douchey thing Lieberman did this weekend? When he on Saturday they were debating the a budget bill, and they needed Lieberman to come to break a filibuster. But it was Saturday, and he's Orthodox, an Orthodox Jew. So
yeah.
he walked 3 miles to the Capitol because, you know, he's Orthodox, and on the Sabbath he can't.
Yeah, yeah, because it's the moral thing to do to deny people health care. Yeah.
Right. And so, but he was walking to break a budget filibuster, walked in, big wool overcoat, big grin, bright orange scarf, like King of the Hill. I'm here now. We can finally move forward. Don't you just want to? Don't you want? I just want to give him a wedgie.
and a
give
swirly.
Him, yeah, give him more than that.
Give him a poop swirly. That's what I want.
Yeah,
to give him.
Yeah, a swirly and a wedgie. Yeah.
Yes.
At the same time. I mean. Oh, you know, and you don't know what to, I mean. Ben Nelson, who's another. Ugh. He said, I want to be a friend of the process, meaning, like, this crap that they're doing. He says, I'm concerned, the Medicare proposal, I'm concerned it's the forerunner of single payer. Yeah, I hope so. But, you know, so that's why he's going to vote against it.
And he also said about abortion, he said, well, you know, that's my thing. I have the unique issue of abortion.
Yeah, of stopping poor women from, you know, buying their own insurance to get a legal procedure done in the United States. I mean, it really.
And which is funny because Nelson actually, that budget bill, that $1.1 trillion budget bill that was passed, actually contains in it a provision that allows for federal financing of abortions in Washington, D.C., and Nelson voted to break the filibuster. So it's not like, again, there's not a principle at work here.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing, Rud, is you know, if you keep looking at these polls, the American public is more liberal than the Democrats. So, you know, the problem is, you know, if they depress the turnout, they're going to lose their seats. And Gingrich and others have already said, we're going to repeal anything you do in health care. You know, so...
I think that's really optimistic of Gingrich to say that there'll be something to repeal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, why not do what the people want to do? Even politically, this doesn't make sense to me. You know, even this Wall Street bill, I mean, it's a victory, but even that got watered down. You know, some of the stuff the White House wanted, they watered it down.
And every time, I want to know where people stand. What does Lieberman want? He keeps throwing up the roadblocks without actually saying what he wants. And actually, it's the same thing with the president. What is his, I will veto this bottom line? If you do not do this, I will veto the bill. And we haven't heard that. And that, you know, that's what actually gives teeth to negotiations, is to say this whole thing could fail at the very end. If we don't listen to, I don't know, the leader of the party.
Right, right, exactly.
Sorry, and also, sorry for conservatives listening, and also leader of the country, yes, we know.
You know, the other thing that's just irritating me, and I know you write about, you know, science this week in your column, it's just, why are we even listening to dopes like Sarah Palin talk about global warming? I mean, her and Michael Steele and what, you know, it's like she says, oh, yeah, I'd debate Al Gore if it were the right venue, where a venue where someone would remove your Abby Normal brain and put a real one in.
Oh, that'd be great. It'd be like Igor bringing, Igor apparently brought the crazy brain when she was made in some GOP lab.
You brought me an abnormal brain. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The whole debate is not even being run by scientists. The whole debate is being, you know, what did they have on? They had on James Inhofe and Representative Markey debating whether or not global warming was real or climate change was real. And I thought, this is somewhere in between, you know, is there gravity and is the Earth round? And I don't even, it's more valid at this point to debate whether or not Bigfoot is real, because because you know, there are some things that are facts and there are some things that aren't facts. And you know, the AP just came out with their study of the emails, the supposed ClimateGate emails, saying.
Right.
Yeah, they were being kind of, you know, pricks to each other, but but you know, we otherwise global warming's real.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It's, you know, it's distorting the whole point of that. You know what I mean? It's like, was it scientists arguing and, like you said, that word that we really shouldn't say on the radio,
oh,
being,
sorry,
you know, to each other. However, right, it's like going, it doesn't prove that global warming doesn't exist. You know, I mean,
I meant they were using pins on each other.
Yeah, that's
thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you, uh-huh. Rude. Thank you, Rude. It is rudepundit.blogspot.org. Am I saying
dot
that
com,
right?
Stephanie.
Dot com. Oh. Dot com.
I am not an organization.
Yes, he's a com. Huh?
He's an organism who has a dot com. Yeah. All right. Rude Pundit, Lee Papa. I will see you next week, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. The rude one. His rudeness. All right, 44 minutes after the hour. Yeah, I'm, wow, am I in a mood, Chris.
Yeah, I can tell.
Seriously.
You're in a state.
My panties are in a giant wad. Even if I didn't have a bloody eye, I'd be, go!
A subconjunctival hematoma, or whatever
that's
it was.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
Thank you. Uh-huh. All right. Back with more on this healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Trying to make me feel better, aren't you? It's not working.
Oh, come on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show now with a bloody eye. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Have I finished my show prep, Chris? No.
No.
Well, I was on the phone with an eye doctor's office
heard.
Here in New York. Yes, I'm trying to get in. Mama got in a fight with a fireplace mantle over the weekend, and the fireplace mantle won.
And there was no drinking involved, surprisingly.
No. Which is really, I know, the kind of the sad part of the story. Okay, yeah, but see, that's the thing the eye doctor that wrote in, Chris, it disturbs me, because he said unless the eye took a blow, and the eye itself did take quite a blow, so I don't know what's going to happen. But one listener, because our listeners, as you know, problem solvers,
mm-hmm,
Chris,
yes,
suggested a bionic eye. You know, after my hero, Jamie Summers. Good idea. Good
no,
idea.
No, Stephanie.
I'll ask the eye doctor today.
Stephanie, Jamie what? Summers had the bionic ear.
Oh.
Yeah.
$6 million man had a bionic
yes,
eye,
he
right?
Did.
So, they exist. See, and his eye worked better. As we previously mentioned on the Stephanie Miller Show, the ear could not have been that good because she had to move her hair in order for it to work.
Exactly. So
how good a bionic ear could that be?
It can't be any good. I think technology has improved since the 70s, though.
Yeah, that could be it. I'm like, you know what? I would prefer the kind I don't have to move my hair so that it operates correctly. All right. It's like one of those really cheap hearing aids that feeds back.
One of those cheap hearing aids that Lee Majors is pushing on cable television now.
Shh, no.
What?
All right. So at any rate, I'm not sure what's irritating me more at this particular point, my eye or Joe Lieberman, douche.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
Yeah. A plan to let people as young as 55 buy into Medicare, heralded as a breakthrough in the Senate's health care debate by people like, you know,
Stephanie Miller,
among others.
Mm-hmm.
Now I may have to say Ed Schultz is right. This is the problem. You think, okay, this is actually a good compromise.
Right.
You know, that and the other thing that I have trouble explaining with the government-controlled, but the private, whatever that thing is.
Government
but
control
the,
over...
Right, but I think the Medicare expansion was significant, you know, and and so, of course, Joe Lieberman's against it. But, you know, I thought, okay, seriously, I have no clue what's going to happen now. So
it's because his wife is a lobbyist for the health insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Ran into resistance Sunday from lawmakers who can make or break Democrats' efforts to reshape the nation's health insurance system. Joe Lieberman, the douche-tastic senator from Aetna.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
Declared the early Medicare buy-in a bad deal for taxpayers and the deficit. Well, let me get this straight. We haven't even gotten the CBO numbers back yet, and he already knows this is a bad deal for the deficit. Really?
Right. There was some small Medicare advocate company or corporation or something that put out some kind of study, and it said that it was going to hurt Medicare. Well, of course, a Medicare pro-Medicare study was going to say it's going to hurt Medicare. Yeah. So that has no credence whatsoever.
He pleaded with Democrats to start subtracting expensive proposals from the overhaul, meaning, Chris, anything that would actually work or actually reform health care in any meaningful way. If we could just take all that out, if you could take the actual reform out of the health care reform, then Joe Lieberman would be good for it.
He only wants...
As long as it were something that maybe helped the insurance companies a little more. I'm sorry. You were going
to
say...
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, but you...
Pardon me.
Yeah, no problem.
I really am
you said it.
Today.
You said it a lot better than I could ever have.
President Obama said, told 60 Minutes, did you see this yesterday, that I think it's going to pass out of the Senate before Christmas.
60 Minutes is on too late for me.
I hope he's right. Lieberman said there was a chance if Democrats bring in some Republicans who are open-minded. Really, Joe? And which ones would those be? Which Republicans would those be that have been so extremely helpful on health care? Mitch McChinless, the Republican leader, said, with the American people as overwhelmingly opposed to this bill as they are...
Confused says no.
What? Democrats to basically arrogantly take the position that we're going to ignore public opinion and jam this through before Christmas, I think that's really a stretch. Have any of these guys, Chris, been asked to explain anywhere on TV why, I don't know, roughly 100 polls now show 60 to 70% of the American people want a public option, want health care reform with a public option?
They're not doing the people's work. They're doing the insurance company's work, which is absolutely unexcusable.
Yeah, Senator Mitch McChinless.
That it won't save money. And we thought the whole exercise from the beginning was about bending the cost curve.
Okay, so once again, they haven't even gotten the CBO report back. And by the way, you know what saves the most money? A really robust public option.
Hell, single payer would save the most money.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
Senator Jay Rockefeller said he was working with Lieberman and others on controlling Medicare costs, and he voiced confidence that fellow Democrats can get past their divisions. Boy, howdy, I hope so. Doesn't seem like it right at this particular juncture, does it?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, I don't know, Chris. I'm with you. I'm feeling a little crazy. With the blood in my eye and all. But that's what, you know what? I'm just, wouldn't that be friggin' hilarious? Talk about political jiu-jitsu. If we just scrap this now and do the single payer with reconciliation. It's like, okay, you know what? Okay, so Lieberman said he would find it hard to vote for the bill if it contains the Medicare buy-in as written. Senator Mike Johanns, Republican of Nebraska.
It shows that health care costs aren't going down. Under this plan, they actually go up.
First of all, once again, we haven't even gotten the CBO report back yet.
Right.
And as you said, Chris, if you're they make no sense. If you're talking about just cost, go with single payer.
Yep, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Senator John Kyle, Republican of Arizona.
Every day more bad news for Harry Reid and the Democrats. My colleagues have pointed out the difficulty that they're going to have trying to explain away the features of their legislation as analyzed by CMS.
Yeah, I thought you were the Protect Medicare company, party. I thought you were, that was all your whole thing a couple of weeks ago, was expand, huh?
It's funny that the Republicans are trying to protect a socialist program like Medicare.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah. Who was it? Was it Anthony Weiner that put forward the bill? It's like, okay, let's destroy it then. Let's blow the sucker up. Why don't you, They're just cowards. They really are.
They really are.
All right. I have to regulate myself for
yes,
a moment. And then Eric Bollert, our senior fellow at Media Matters for America, will join us for a rollicking right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today, everybody. Diane in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, proving once and for all that it is only funny till someone loses an eye. In this case, Mama this weekend. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Stephanie.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Looked like you got your butt kicked really bad.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes. Silvio Berlusconi hit me.
Ha.
Ha.
Yeah. 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 You probably like ran into Tiger's wife or something, right?
Yes. It was Tiger. All right. Thank you for calling. Yes. It was Tiger Woods' wife and Silvio. I had quite a wild weekend.
Did you get hit in the face with a statuette like Silvio Berlusconi?
No, I got into a fight with my fireplace mantle, no drinking involved. And I was able to do what you can see up on StephanieMiller.com to myself. That takes some doing.
It's in the picture of her eyes in the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com. You have to see it.
Be darkly funny for those of you that know that I moved to New York to do more television. Oh, it's like some kind of twisted gift of the Magi, isn't it, Chris?
Magi, yes.
Magi.
Uh-huh.
The good news is at least my hair looks good. It's time for our wildly popular feature, Letter from Other Liberal Talk Show Hosts. I got a letter from my HOA friend, Randy Rhodes, over the weekend.
Really? How is she
Subject
doing?
Subject line, shiny hair. Of course, this was pre-injury.
Right.
Someone found a New York hairdresser. You look like a mill on Behar. Now, don't take my only TV booking, you whorebag. Love, Randy. I wrote her back. I said, don't worry, I won't be taking any TV bookings because I don't think I'm going to be able to go on TV for about a month or so.
It's not. Okay. No, it'll get better before a month.
I don't know. I'll let you know if I get to the eye doctor today how long it'll be.
Makeup can take care of the black eye. And
yes, how about the big, giant pools of blood on either side?
That will go away just like a bruise goes away.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you.
Mm. Okay. Oh, and you went to ophthalmology school while...
In my spare
weekend,
time.
Apparently.
In my spare time, while trying to fix your roof.
Yes, and it's raining in my house in Los Angeles that I'm trying to rent. Other than that, everything is great. How about you? All right. Everything's great with me. You know why?
Why?
Because it's time for Right Wing World, everybody. Our guest, our co-host, senior fellow at the Center for...
Media Matters for America.
I knew that. Media Matters for America. I'm sorry. I sometimes meld the two organizations. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. You're the one and the only.
There you go.
You know what? I yell your name out sometimes when I'm talking to John Podesta. I just wanted to know that. All right. Let's dive into a right-wing world, shall we? Because it's, here's what annoys me about the media today, Eric. Why must we take Sarah Palin seriously on climate change or anything else?
Well, because if you edit the Washington Post opinion section, she creates buzz. That was the defense.
Yeah.
So it was. She's a newsworthy person, so they published anything she has. Apparently, I mean, it can be Middle East tomorrow, global warming, the stock market. She's she can do it all. She can do no wrong.
Well, you know,
and if she gets lots of clicks, then apparently the Washington Post considers its work done.
But somebody made the point over the weekend I thought was true, Eric, that, you know, normally when you write a piece like that, you have to have some sort of expertise in that particular area. You know what I'm saying?
She has a Facebook page, so I think she's an expert.
Yeah, where most of the world's greatest scientists do their best work.
Well, and columns used to be fact-checked, even in, you know, obviously it's an opinion, but newspapers used to not allow people to just, like, make stuff up and put it in print. But it's Sarah Palin, so and the Post wanted to get that buzz going, so
right, but
they
Eric,
pretty much gave her a pass.
That's the whole point, I think, as Al Gore or somebody said this weekend. This is not an opinion thing.
Right.
This is not, what do you think? It's just, this is science, you know? Anyway,
right, no, but the right-wing press wants to certainly turn it into an opinion thing. Either you believe, you know, the Earth is flat, or you believe in global warming, or you believe, you know, it's all a matter of personal choice.
Gee, I don't know. It's been a while since I was in school, Eric, but it seems to me that you weren't allowed to write an opinion piece in science class. Well, here's what I think. Yeah, no, that's...
She says no.
No, that's, there's cold, hard facts about that. All right. By the way, this, Right Wing World brought to you by Identity Guard. Cling. Making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. Let's dive in, shall we, Eric? Laura Ingram in for O'Reilly.
Left-wingers and global warming fanatics not only attacked Palin personally for her op-ed, but they trashed the Washington Post for publishing her. Since when is it anti-science to ask questions? The people most guilty of willful ignorance in this debate are those who ignore evidence of a blatant scientific cover-up as they shout down anyone who disagrees.
Ha! Well, it seems to me that the Associated Press, Eric, just did their analysis of the this climate gate, these emails. As Rude Pundit summed it up, I guess they were being... to each other, but it didn't prove there was any cover-up of global warming, right?
No, yeah, I think the AP is the only one that's really gone through. I think they read all 1,500 or something and
right.
over the weekend. And, yeah, I mean, quite clearly they said it doesn't prove anything about I have the headline in front of my local paper, Review, Emails Don't Negate Warming. And I love the fact that now Sarah Palin is just asking questions. That's certainly not how I read her Washington Post column last week. But according to Laura Ingram, she's, you know, what's wrong with raising questions? Questions. Well, that's not what she did. I mean, she stated fact, and she got them all wrong.
Right. And it's like Al Gore says, it's like gravity. You don't go, oh, I'm just asking questions.
Well, the great part, Laura Ingram last week was asking Sarah Palin, would you debate Al Gore, you know, on climate change? And Sarah Palin was like, well, maybe, I guess. The venue would have to be right.
Yeah.
And Laura Ingram was saying, oh, Al Gore, he would back down. He would back down. He would never agree to... debate you on global warming, and I think it'd probably be the other way around. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, it kind of, Eric, I must say, makes me giggle a little bit. It seems like it would be a little like Harlem Globetrotters.
A little one-sided, I would think.
He'd be bouncing a scientific basketball off her forehead, I think, for a while. But, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It's like Michael Steele. Just because Republicans put some of these dopes in charge of things doesn't mean we have to take them seriously.
Well, and the fascinating thing with what Palin's been able to pull off is she refuses to talk to the press. She hasn't talked to a serious political reporter or journalist since she launched her book. She does these lifestyle interviews, and then she does, you know, these right-wing, you know, talk show interviews. And then she sort of parachutes in and gives the Washington Post this op-ed. But she never actually defends what she has to say, and she never will sit down with a reporter, and she'll never, go off script or anything. So she's created this great little media space for herself where she's untouchable. She only really exists on Facebook.
She's the girl in the plastic media bubble.
Yeah, and the press lets her get away with it. I mean, if Hillary Clinton came out with a book and refused to do any interviews, she would be crucified.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know why you say that, Eric, because you don't want to listen to the facts.
They don't want to listen to the facts. They don't want to listen to some reasonable voices in this. And that was proven with the publication of this op-ed where they kind of got all wee-weed up about it and call me and others deniers of changing weather patterns and climate conditions, trying to make the issue into something that it is not.
Well, what if it's an Oxford-style proper debate format? I mean, he's going to chicken out. I mean, if you challenge him to a debate, you actually think he would accept it?
I don't know. Oh, he wouldn't want to lower himself, I think, to my level to debate little Sarah Palin from Wasilla.
Yeah, I'm sure he's scared of her superior intellectual firepower.
Bring it on, bitch. I think that was his official statement.
Yeah,
exactly. Seriously, this conversation with Michael Steele, Eric, equally dopey. Earlier this year, he ridiculed the notion that the Earth is warming. Yeah, that's a notion. Arguing instead the world is actually cooling. He said, we're cooling. We're not warming. The warming you see out there, the supposed warming, and I'm using my finger quotation marks here, it's part of the cooling process. Greenland, which is now covered in ice, it was once called Greenland for a reason, right? Iceland, which is now green.
Oh, what a moron.
Yeah,
yes.
He's been listening to the Sean Hannity School of Science. Because, yeah, I mean, Sean Hannity recently has been talking about how, you know, 2009 is the warmest, you know, the coolest year or warmest
right.
year on record. You know, and, right. I mean, they're just sort of making stuff up. And look, I mean, these emails that were stolen, you know, were clearly a gift for them, and they're trying to confuse the facts and suggesting that these conversations and these internal skepticism means the whole thing was a hoax, you know, as Rush Limbaugh famously said, you
right.
know, those ice glaciers aren't melting. Those photos have all been photoshopped. I mean, you can go up there and you'll still see ice glaciers. So they've taken a not even a grain of truth, but they've taken these emails and just tried
that's
to
what I mean.
Turn it into something else.
Yeah, but so I'm saying, like, any of us that went to school know that, you know, that there were the opinion classes that you could bolt your way through. Those are the ones I was good at. And then there's the, with the hard
right.
facts. And,
right. Science and math typically were not the
right.
The basis
my thing.
For opinion.
But, yeah, I mean, so a reporter from the local Fox station asked Steele how he knows the Earth is cooling. He goes, I don't. I don't,
oh,
but
go.
Apparently neither does anybody else. It's like,
right.
Yeah, they do. Like, you know what I'm saying? We can't give Michael Steele and Sarah Palin the same validity as Stephen Hawking when they speak on science, you know?
Right, no, but the idea is to just create this idea like nobody knows. Nobody really knows. It's all a big mystery. Or it's all a big hoax. You know, you can take your pick. If you're being really scientific, nobody knows. If you're being sort of a hard partisan, it's all a hoax. But the idea that it is a known fact, that they're trying to just completely push that off the table.
Well, in case you want to know the fun facts, in fact, independent statisticians have called the global cooling myth not scientifically legitimate. The actual science is clear. It's been the hottest decade in recorded history. Climate change is real. The Earth is warming, and it is man-made. I mean, it's just it's not up for opinion anymore. It's,
right.
It's,
I mean, I thought the opinion part was either, you know, what are we going to do about it, or how responsible is man for this, or is this a natural thing? I mean, I thought that's sort of where the quote-unquote debate was, but now we're just trying to move it back to the idea that the whole thing's a hoax and it doesn't exist.
Well, they're trying argue two separate, totally opposite things at the same time. One, that it's occurring, but it's an all-natural phenomenon, man, and
right.
nothing to do with it. On the other hand, it's a total hoax, so Al Gore can get rich on
right.
you know
yeah.
green
well,
technology.
Well, even that, Jim, both of those things can't even exist scientifically
exactly.
together.
Exactly. They don't care about things being mutually exclusive. They can't spell mutually exclusive, for one thing. But.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and Rudy Giuliani on Hannity, so unlike him, Eric, to fearmonger about 9/11.
KSM, we're going to bring him back to New York. What does it mean for New York?
It means an additional security concern over and above all the rest that we have, and one that's unnecessary, which is the worst part of it, because we don't have to have this trial in New York. It's one thing if the only place you could try him was in New York. Of course we would then do it, and the New York City Police Department is the best at handling security. But why add this additional burden to a city that's already considered to be one of the prime targets for Islamic terrorists?
Wow. You know, it is so amazing, isn't it, the hypocrisy, Eric? I mean, he is on record as
right.
being a big fan of the previous terror trials.
Yeah, no, he, you know, when he was in office and after he left office and he was still sort of the symbol of New York City and 9/11, he certainly signed off on, you know, having trials in lower Manhattan and the criminal justice system in New York, the United States was the best, and that's where you get a fair trial, and that's where we show the world, et cetera, et cetera. But now when there's a Democratic attorney general, suddenly everything's upside down, and New York can't handle it, and it's not
it's
fair.
It's all cattywampus now that he's not in charge anymore.
Exactly.
All right, Eric Bollert, stay there in the sidecar. We'll be back with a Scotch More Right-Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, still in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Oh, dear God, I'm sorry to do it to you again. You must be subjected to more Caribou Barbie on Greta Van Susteren.
I liked what he said. In fact, I thumbed through my book quickly this morning to say, wow, that really sounded familiar, because I talked in my book, too, about the fallen nature of man and why war is necessary at times, and history's lessons when it comes to knowing when it is that we engage in warfare. And a lot of Americans right now are getting to read also my take on when war is necessary.
She's implying that Obama
stole his Nobel speech from her.
He was gripping off her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sure
what
on
does
the
she
plane
know about
he was
history?
Paging through a copy of Going Rogue.
Well, we talked earlier, you know, she's an expert in global warming and the science, and now she's an expert in foreign policy, and I guess that's why she wants to be president someday. I mean,
delusions of adequacy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I thought I was going, I didn't really hear that right. She's not really implying that.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I think there's a good chance she's going to get a Nobel Prize someday, isn't there? Oh, my God.
You know,
oh,
the
he
other
stole
thing
that
is
from me. You betcha.
You know, the other interesting thing about the Washington Post editorial we were talking about is why don't they print a response? I mean, there was so much criticism from that piece. It was so riddled with errors. And the editor of the Washington Post opinion page last week noted in print in an interview that a prominent scientist had contacted the Post and offered to write a response to Sarah Palin. So we'll see in the coming days if the Washington Post is really interested, you know, in exchange of ideas, or if they're just interested in pushing sort of Sarah Palin nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's what a real op-ed page would do.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Matt Kibbe, the teabagger guy on Hardball.
The better way to do it is to take over the Republican Party. And that's frankly, that's what our goal is.
Good.
We need to replace the Republican establishment with fiscal conservatives that are actually willing to cut spending.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So their goal is to take over the Republican Party.
We encourage that, don't we, Eric?
Well, I mean, there's clearly going to be a civil war. I mean, in the Republican Party, but maybe not in 2010, but certainly in 2012. Yeah, I mean, they got 60,000 people to show up in Washington in September, and they think they've untapped the greatest political movement of mankind. And so, yeah, they think they're going to overtake the Republican Party, and the Republicans don't know how to win elections, and they don't know what they're doing, So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the last time we saw a movement like this was similar, but not the same. It was Ross Perot, and, of course, that guaranteed a couple Democratic White House wins. So anytime a grassroots movement decides to take on one of the parties, it's usually great news for the other party.
Yeah, exactly. Eric Bollert, senior fellow at Media Matters for America. Thank you so much, sir. See you next time.
Talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes.
Great.
All right, Jim Ward, I have to...
So your story is so you didn't call Randy a whore and she punched you, decked you. That's not the real
Let's
story?
Let's go with that story. Okay. Let's go with whatever story will get me more publicity. I got in a bar fight with Ann Coulter. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
She would have broken her arm punching
all
you,
right.
though.
Mama's horrific eye injury and Jim Ward's take on the healthcare debate. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. You look like a $2 whore. And keep in mind that the dollar is weak right now. So to wrap up, that's an insult.
The Dow is up 19 points. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. Nancy in Chicago. Hey, Nance.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I heard you say what Greta Van Susteren said, and that quote you had why did she have to go back and read her own book to find out what it said?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like she's that familiar with what's in her book. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, she may be an expert on global warming, but she certainly doesn't know what's in her own book.
She forgot her ghostwriter's number, I think.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. All right. Jim Ward, welcome. Have you looked at the horrific picture of Mama's eye?
Yes, I did.
It's
nice.
Like the Requiem for a Dream thing or something.
The Requiem for a Dream poster, exactly.
Yeah. I know. I know right away you think drinking, right?
I thought bar fight, yeah.
Or when you think Requiem for a Dream, you think heroin.
Yeah. No, just a great big loser that got into a fight with my fireplace mantle and lost. And now I'm waiting for the eye doctor to call because it's quite serious. All right.
Oh, boy. So that must be a pretty big mantle if you can crash into it and get it from your... Yeah.
I just got up sort of the wrong way, just at the right angle. And
one of those big stone fireplaces like from,
Yes. Yeah, well, I was saying that, up until now, my madcap adventures from my disastrous move to New York were sort of funny, and now until someone loses an eye, and now it's technically not funny really anymore. Now it's taken a tragic turn. It's taken a Quentin Tarantino turn.
Oh, boy.
So, I told my mom this weekend, Chris, I said, I feel like I'm at summer camp and I want to come home.
Aww. Fireplace went medieval on your ass.
That dream that I made a box wine induced decision to move to New York, as Ed Schultz told me to, and you weren't there, Chris, and you weren't there, Jim.
But it's a big nightmare now.
I wonder if I could tap my Uggs together 3 times and come home.
I probably shouldn't
come home now because it's raining in my house, right, Chris?
It is raining in your house.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm having some leaky windows.
You're having some issues.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Listener comedy from Eric in Ohio. Hey, Steph, as hilarious as the stories of your first week in New York are, they're nothing compared to what's to come. When you move back to Los Angeles and have to sleep on Chris's couch, that's when the dangerous really begins. Chris having to put out the fire every time you try to cook, him having to roll your unconscious body out of the way in order to pick up the empty wine bottles. Oh, the hilarity continues. All right.
Gotta change Mama's bath water.
Actually, you know what? My nephew is actually going to move in with Mama to change my bath water for me.
Is he?
Yes.
Bit of a role reversal.
Wow.
Yeah, it's become a great garden.
So
it's,
you changed his diapers, and now he's going to change your bathwater.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's neat.
Well, as you know, my nephew, a hilarious writer, director, actor, living here in New York, he wrote a hilarious email this weekend. I have to read. I sent the whole family my travel document, my plans for the holidays to come visit, family, Republican relatives in Charlotte, my mom, etc.
Yes.
So because I needed him to watch the dogs.
Uh-oh.
So, yes, he writes to the whole family, please be advised that Ms. Miller is in a very stressful transition period right now, and she's recently suffered a minor major injury to her eye socket on account of a moving fireplace mantle that had not been childproof in time for her arrival on the East Coast. She is simultaneously adjusting the drastic changes in climate, attitude, and altitude from her previous home in Los Angeles. Her schedule and normal hours of seclusion have been thrown wildly out of whack. The presence of over 8 million mostly common people with whom she's forced to share the public space has been gross. Unsettling to her equilibrium for the fireplace incident. On top of everything else, her youngest child has explosive diarrhea, which is presently jeopardizing her living arrangement. Furthermore, and perhaps most critically, Ms. Miller has been without her handler nephew for over a month. We'd appreciate your understanding and accommodation during this difficult time of transition. Greatness comes at a price of certain eccentricities. I'm sure you all understand and relate. In my warmest regards, Paul. Oh, by the way, go to the banner ad at stephaniemiller.com and pick up his film Forgiven for the holidays.
And if you are a member of Netflix, put it in your Netflix queue. Forgiven.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's not only a brilliant filmmaker, but he takes care of Mama. So please do it for Mama. Go pick up a copy.
Not to be confused with The Unforgiven.
Right.
Different movie entirely.
No, that is entirely different, Jim. All right. And as if I weren't cranky enough, Jim, this health care...
Yes.
Yeah. Douche-tastic Lieberman. Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
Because, last week we were all saying, right, the Senate compromise, oh, not bad, the Medicare buy-in, blah, the whole thing may actually be a better, Yeah, exactly. There's Lieberman to gum up the works again. What the hell do we do, Jim?
I don't know.
He won't,
trash the whole thing and start over.
That's what I'm thinking.
Single payer, put it through reconciliation.
Yeah. Reconciliation. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just, this is unbelievable. Senator John McCain on the CMS.
The CMS report should put the dagger in the heart of the Reid bill.
But the CMS is an advocate for Medicare. Of course they have a dog in the fight. They are not an impartial organization.
Yeah.
So all of these Republican senators are citing this completely biased report.
They confuse it with the CBO.
Which isn't even out yet.
Right.
Exactly. Senator Chuck Schumer over the weekend.
They're going to be pretty happy with it. And I think that many of the concerns that have been voiced, which are legitimate, I believe when we get a CBO score and people see the details, will be allayed.
Yeah, I mean, and here's Joe Lieberman out in front again, Jim, just going, I'm not going to vote for any of it, you know. And you're thinking, I thought that's how we got to this compromise, because we can get people like Lieberman along, you know, Chuck Schumer over the weekend as well.
This is a step up, especially given that the public option that we ended up with was not as strong as some of them would like.
Thank you. But now what the hell do you do, right? If we can't even...
Right. Well, I think we just have to take Glenn Beck's advice. Just abolish Medicare. Because it's crazy socialist commie.
But the Republicans would never allow that because they are so for that socialist program called Medicare.
Especially their constituents, many of whom are in their 80s.
Absolutely.
The Republican leader, Senator Mitch McChinless of Kentucky, says Democrats are grappling with internal division and negative public opinion about the overhaul taking shape. Jim, as you often say, the negative public opinion is because the plan isn't liberal enough.
Right.
Because they want a real public option. He says they're in serious trouble on this. The central problem, Americans are against it. Jay Rockefeller says not so. He's confident the Democrats will get past the issues dividing them because they agree on broad principle. He says it always gets tough when it gets down to the details. Boy, I didn't think the sausage could get any uglier at this point. But, you know, now it's like part of a beak. So they're like, oh, there's something else in the beak, too. That's
ew. It's Rutger Hauer's finger.
It looks like Stephanie Miller's eye.
I got that reference, Jim.
Good.
Senator Ben Nelson, Democrat of Florida.
I'm lukewarm on it because I think when we get the score back from CBO that it's going to be too costly. So at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a non-starter.
At the end of the day, we just got to let a lot of people die.
That was actually Bill Nelson, not Ben Nelson. They're
pardon
different.
Me.
Yeah. Bill Nelson's from Florida. Ben Nelson's from Nebraska.
There's a piece today on CNN.com about, the healthcare and Afghanistan splitting the Democrats. You talk about it wasn't that long ago, right? It was that magical time. We just won the White House finally and the majorities in Congress. MoveOn.org sent an email out to its 5 million members. It opened with three words: how could they? Senate Democrats have just announced a tentative health care plan that doesn't appear to include a real public insurance option. Instead of pulling out all the stops, they bargained away the heart of health care reform, allowing conservative senators like Joe Lieberman and Ben Nelson to hold the process hostage and protect big insurance. I was down with the compromise last week. Now I'm like, are you kidding me? Pollster said, I think the Democratic base, the danger is it becomes a no-show in 2010. And again, Jim, because they aren't passing something liberal enough.
Right.
That's why they're in danger politically. An element that was so critical to the success in 2006 and 2008 is going to be on the sidelines. People are going to be so dispirited. MoveOn.org's director said, MoveOn members trust Obama, but they're sincerely concerned about the gap between his campaign promises and the reality of the legislation being passed. And this is what I've been saying, right? I want to give the president the benefit of the doubt.
It's a failure of leadership on his part. He should have taken the reins early on, and he let Congress screw it up.
Well, you know, unless he pulls some rabbit out of a hat here at the end, I don't know what. An analysis of CNN polling indicates the support for the president and congressional Democrats has slipped among self-described liberals.
Yeah, as well it should have.
Yeah. In June, Obama had an 89% favorable rating with liberals. In December, he has a favorable rating of 73%. Again, still a lot of approval, but, you know, that's what I don't even get politically, why we're not going for what people voted for.
Right.
For all the talk of Democratic infighting, a senior official at the DNC said disagreements are par for the course when you have a big tent party. What is occurring in the Democratic Party is no different than what always occurs in the Democratic Party. I mean, we're not an organized party. We're Democrats, but
it seems like
a historic opportunity that we're blowing.
I think a real liberal will never be president of the United States again. Well, they'll always be a corporatist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look out for the.
Because the corporations,
well, it is different than the Republican Party. If you're all, no offense, but white racists, then you tend to agree on most things, you know.
But you know what?
You're white anti-science racist as a rule.
The corporations are in charge of both parties because they donate the money. There's no way that the average person can donate as much money and get as much influence as a huge corporation. Mm-hmm. And that's so frustrating. It's not what this country was founded on.
Obama had progressive economic advisors during the campaign, but now suddenly we got Larry Summers and Tim mm-hmm. Geithner and all these other, and Bernanke and all these guys who were part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, that being said, though, Jim, I mean, it does seem like, you know, they're making some of the right moves that have pulled us back from the brink. The economy stuff is not the stuff. It's this stuff that kills me.
Yeah.
You know, this health care. I mean, I don't know where we're, you know, you tell me where you think we're going or where we should go. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As
Canada,
we continue.
That's where we should go.
Yes, because they have cheap drugs there.
I thought that today. I'm like, this is not working out well in Canada. Maybe Jim will marry me now and we can move to Canada.
Move to Toronto instead of New York.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mike in St. Charles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate. Hey, Mike.
Yes, I think we should personally drop the whole thing. First of all, everything that people have wanted has completely just been thrown out. Second, there's a heavy influence. People aren't realizing that this universal health care, the way it is now, the way it's going to be passed, is actually going to benefit insurance companies. The reason is if you don't own insurance and you buy into insurance, there's an increase of 125%. That's actually stated in the bill. So if you don't own insurance now, or your employer doesn't own insurance now, you will see 125% increase. So it's actually a benefit towards the insurance programs. And then on top of that, with the Copenhagen Summit, in correlation to the universal health care, they're implementing on December 31st, 2009, Codex Alimentarius, which is regulation of vitamins and minerals in all foods through the Health Organization and World Trade Organization and World Health Organization are all working together with all the food agricultures. At that point, you're going to see a dramatic decrease of population through third world countries. This has not been a conspiracy because this has actually been talked about through the Copenhagen summit. What we need to do now is stop paying attention to the right-wing and left-wing ideologies, and we need to band together and remember our articles, our Bill of Rights, and take a stand. Take back our country, because the corporations, if it's not corporations, I mean, no offense.
Yep,
I
got it. All right, thank you. He lost me there for a minute, Jim, and then he got me back. I was like, everyone's going to die because of the death, so we don't need health care? Okay.
That's a bit alarmist, but
something because of vitamins.
I think it sounds a little. It seems like it's probably not quite as catastrophic as it's being painted. I think he may have got that from Ron Paul. But
I believe dogs and cats are currently living together. All right, Faith in Gainesville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate as well. Hey, Faith.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, guys. Mm-hmm. A little while ago, y'all told me, now wait, give Obama a chance.
It ain't over yet, but I'm pretty irritated.
Girl, you know, I've been listening to you for the past couple of weeks, and I'm thinking, man, what kind of hoops is that woman going through?
That's how she hurt her eye.
Yeah.
Bending over backwards.
What I think is the real problem is that the corporatocracy that's got their hands on the levers of power. Mm-hmm. And until
I had an eye-opening experience over the weekend, Faith.
No kidding. You saw the light.
Thank God
probably.
I have health insurance.
Oh, my God. It probably doesn't cover your optician.
Yeah, probably not.
Anyway, I think that it's time for us to start targeting the people who are causing this. You know, I think there's a reason that Goldman Sachs executives are starting to buy handguns.
Yeah. Well, all right. Thanks, Faith. But, we'll get to the Wall Street bill, too. And again, some good stuff, but, Jim, some of it watered down. I mean, it's not even some of the strongest reforms. And you still have the Republicans going, well, we don't need regulation. Why would we need that?
Oh,
Joe in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was looking on Wikipedia this morning, and I guess I heard that the current filibuster rules don't require actual continuous floor to speech anymore. But I guess at the discretion of the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, he has the power to require it. So let's make him stay through the holiday. Let's encourage Senator Reid to invoke that.
To invoke? You're talking about filibuster?
Yeah, that you have to stay on the floor of the Senate.
Right.
Oh,
and with continuous.
Yes.
I'll let Jimmy Stewart.
The Jimmy Stewart movie way.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, these people, it'll last 10 minutes with Republicans. They're not creative enough to speak for 10 minutes. I mean, drill baby drill was their, campaign slogan.
Somebody will start reading from Going Rogue and then they'll all quit. No!
I thought of that too. I don't have to buy the book on tape then.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, sir, I guess I'll just have to speak to the people of my state for right here. And I'll tell you one thing, the wild horses aren't going to drag me off this floor until those people have heard everything I've got to say, even if it takes all winter.
Filibuster!
Filibuster, this is the miracle I wanted. What are you?
Frankly, Jim, Newt Gingrich, frankly.
The more I'm not being frank with it, frankly. I'm lying, frankly.
Here's, again, what's going to happen politically. So he's already saying his new contract in America is repealing whatever paltry health care we're able to get through anyway.
Great.
Yeah. By the way, guess who he stumped for yesterday? Danny Hastert's son, Ethan Hastert.
Oh, God.
For Illinois' 14th congressional
district. That'll be good for pork products.
Oh, God, yeah. Gingrich reiterated his call for all Republicans to commit to repealing any form of a health care bill the Democrats might pass before the 2010. He's just the latest Republican to commit to repealing health care reform.
And committing political suicide.
Yeah. So then what is his solution? He hasn't offered a solution.
Frankly, I think Cheryl Guy.
He's just trying to block anything the Democrats do. He and Ethan Hastert.
Ethan. That just doesn't seem like Denny Hastert's son's name, does it?
Hey, Ethan, come over here.
I don't think he wrestled.
I mean, like Ethan.
You think it would be more like Brad or something. Or Schamburg. Like, you think he would have named him Schamburg. Hastert.
It's actually right. Matt's district, they're Schamburg.
Yeah, no.
But just like saying Schamburg.
Yeah, Schamburg in that accent is awesome.
Here's something. The White House did come out strongly against killing gay people in Uganda.
Yes.
Oh, thank God. They decided there's a moral line in
the
sand there.
Wow, they're taking a stand there.
President strongly opposes efforts such as a draft law pending in Uganda that would criminalize homosexuality and move against the tide of history. On the eve of World AIDS Day, Secretary of State Clinton said we have to stand against efforts to marginalize and criminalize and penalize members of the LGBT community worldwide. You've heard about them. We've talked about this before. Mike Stark, who I love, the blogger activist, he caught up with Republican Senator Brownback. Who they have ties to the, he's one of the guys in the family, which has influenced the, they're all for the Ugandan legislation.
They certainly are.
Brownback refused to comment because he, quote, didn't know the specifics of the bill. Oh, well, let me explain it to you. They kill gay people
right.
for being gay.
Well,
it's, it's pretty difficult to understand. Well, for aggravated homosexuality,
gayness.
Jim.
Well, it's, if you're gay and you're HIV positive, then you know they'll just kill you.
Not mildly miffed homosexuality,
right,
but if, you, if
aggravated.
You're a,
aggravated.
An aggravated homosexual, then you're you got to go.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Yeah, that's difficult to understand. I can see how Brownback needs more specifics on that. Well, you're gay and they kill you. That's how that works. Hmm. Oh, you're still not sure if you're against that? Okay, good. Well, thanks for checking in, Sander. Okay, that's what Jesus would do. Okay, 57 minutes after the hour. Oy vey, Tiger Woods.
Oh, boy.
And Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't know when I felt better. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Maybe you should bang up your other eye just so you'd be even.
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, that's the story I'm going to go with, Jim, is that after Ann Coulter pussed out on debating on Joy Behar last week, I got in a bar fight with her.
Yeah, that's it.
She looks worse. Yeah, you should see the other guy. In this case, actually the other guy.
Yeah. You're the one who broke off the bottle on the bar and got her with it.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out, and particularly check out the picture of Mama's, because we are literally, Jim, proving that it's only funny until you lose an eye. Because Mama's madcap New York adventure is funny right up until the moment I got into a fight with my fireplace mantle on Friday night and lost quite significantly. Okay, and that's the why it's in the isn't that ironic file, Jim? Because I moved to New York to do more television. And, oh, boy. Damn. I'm waiting for the eye doctor to call back. And here's the really good news. It was completely without alcohol.
Maybe if you'd had some alcohol, you could have
dodged,
you know, weaved and avoided the, yeah.
Okay, you can email us all.
Because you're too sober.
Mm-hmm. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, surly associate producer Rebecca Baker, or me, Stephanie Miller.
And if you don't tune in during the first hour of the show when Rebecca is on, you have to hear this. You know,
she's very surly.
Very surly and very,
very
funny.
No, because I thought my eye injury would be good news for people like Rebecca that hate me.
Right.
And there are those that tune in because they hate me.
Yes. And so they love Rebecca.
For those that enjoy dark comedy. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by July 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today, won't you? Everybody? Steffi in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. Boy, you know, this healthcare debate and garbage that keeps going on, and it's driving me nuts. And, you know, Senator McChinless yesterday, my God, I wanted to grab him through my TV.
Yeah, it's reached through the television time. You're just like, if I can grab Lieberman by the finger.
It is maddening. And, you know, I'm not sure what Obama can do, but I do think he could voice his concern. Why wouldn't anyone want Americans 55? It should be under that. It should be single payer. But how can they dare even think that that's nothing that's good for America? And why isn't Obama doing it? Damn it. I mean, he needs to.
Yep. I want to know what Governor Chairman Dr. Howard Dean would do. This is above Jesus's pay grade. Now we're to Governor Dr. Howard Dean.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Steph.
Think Progress had an article sort of in response to Glenn Beck talking about eliminating Medicare. And they said Medicare is actually more efficient than private health insurance and we better controlling costs than the weaker public option plans, which we know. Also, it's hugely successful. A Commonwealth Fund study found that people with Medicare report fewer problems obtaining medical care, less financial hardship due to medical bills, higher overall satisfaction compared to people with employer-provided care.
What's your point?
Well, that we should
what
have
else is good about
Medicare
it?
For all, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
It's a win-win, except for the insurance companies. and the politicians they support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is someone who had a worse weekend than me, meets a future husband, Stack. A drunken driver who urinated on cop, sentenced to jail.
Oh.
They don't like that, Jim.
No, he's lucky he didn't get tased in the yin-yang.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like it when you pee on them after they arrest you for DUI. A 36-year-old Waldo man, that's where Waldo is, in jail. I can still, even with one eye, I can. He urinated on a police officer during a fifth drunken driving arrest. He checked this out. After failing field sobriety tests while en route to the police station, he urinated in the backseat of the squad car and sprayed some through the center divider, striking the officer in the back of the head. And that did not end
well
for him.
Didn't go over well, no.
Yeah. Jim, here's good news for you. Here's some breaking medical news. According to a German research published in the New England Journal of Medicine, men who stare at women's breasts for 10 minutes a day live 5 years longer.
Okay. I'm good. Well, I'm going to live to be 100.
Who did this study?
Some perverts in Germany.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The study claims that 10 minutes of ogling is equivalent to a 30-minute gym workout. The finding has been made after an assessment of 200 men. Oh, please. But every man. What do you mean 200 men? Over a period of 5 years. The men who stare at women's breasts have lower blood pressure, suffer less cardiovascular disease, and have a slower heartbeat, according to the study by some perverts in Germany. That was an excuse to stare at women's.
So strip clubs should be tax deductible then.
It's a medical treatment.
Yes.
Apparently. All right. Jen in Maryland, a fine American. Dear Steph, mama, how are you trying my patience for years? I've waited for Abandoned by Wolves, Raised by Republicans. Oh, that's my book?
Yes.
It's a fake book. I didn't really write one. But now you're living on the East Coast, the Woody Allen, the Columbia, the Bagel, the Fuglesang, home of our great nation. It's time to show your intellectual prowess.
What?
Huh?
Come on, Mama. You may not be able to find your dog's poop. You may not be able to find anything to eat besides two-week-old Chinese food from a restaurant in L.A. that you ate before you even moved. But you can write, damn it. We can feel it. Please, Mama. The book. Jen in Maryland, who never gives up on you, even though you never cease to disappoint me.
You know, you've been threatening a book for about 15 years now, since I've been working with you.
Ah. I forgot I had a new... Oh, I know. Different City, Same Old Box is the new title. Okay.
I think that,
all right.
That needs to be put up the flagpole a little bit.
By the way, speaking of people with dopey books, Sarah Palin is going to speak at a fundraiser for one of them, their socialist Canadian hospitals.
No way!
Where they perform abortions.
But check this out. She got punked again. Remember? Which isn't hard to do when you have that sort of brain power. Last month, Canadian comedian Mary Walsh asked Palin if she, quote, had any words of encouragement for Canadian conservatives who've worked so hard to try to diminish that kind of socialized medicine we have up there. Palin, clearly duped by the performance, responded that Canadians should rid themselves of their public health care system and take a privatized approach. Well, my answer was to keep the faith. My answer is to keep the faith, because that common sense conservatism can be plugged in there, and Canada too there. In fact, Canada needs to reform its health care system and let the private sector take over some of what the government has absorbed. So thank you. Keep the faith. Oh, you are.
What a dope.
Yeah.
And she thought a Quebec DJ was Sarkozy. She got punked by Canada's. They lived to punk Sarah Palin. That's their.
I know.
Canada has rejected conservatism quite successfully.
I mean, even conservatives like the public health care.
There's seriously like one person in Canada going, oh, if only we could have the private sector.
The American
take over
system.
This awful health care system
perfect.
We have. If only we could have a profit system, that would be much better. Ay vey. All right, so the only person that apparently had a worse weekend than me is Silvio Berlusconi and Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Wow, Jim, you're a married man. That's got to be a tough choice for any man. Let's see, do I play golf all day and bang as many porn stars as I want and make $1 billion? Or do I stay home with my wife all day and talk about my feelings? Let's see.
But his wife is pretty
hot. And she has a twin.
She does?
Yes, Josefina.
They're in pretty intensive marriage counseling, and as you know, the big breaking news Friday.
Josefina, that's her name.
Giving up golf.
Alien and Josefina.
Well, he's
smoking hot.
Hiatus from golf right now. Indefinite hiatus.
Yes.
So.
He's never going to see his hot wife naked again, Jim. Come on. I mean, come on.
Apparently there was a moving van in front of their house over the weekend.
Somebody's moving out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I
pretty good idea who.
Let's see. What could be happening here? Yeah, this is, what are we up to, Chris? 13 is the latest number I heard.
You know, I lost count after 13. 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is going. He's going to be playing 36 hoes. Not the 9 or 18.
Definitely over par.
Hey! More golf humor.
Yeah. We're taking enough of it. Wow, so now there might be nude photos of Tiger Woods. The court has blocked release of nude photos that he doesn't know if they exist, but if they do.
Then they're blocked.
He knows they exist.
This follows revelations earlier this week that Playgirl has been approached about publishing the nude. Oh, dear God, oh, this boy. Is not a smart man. He let someone take... It's just for my own personal use, because it's not like you're famous or anything. Wow, wow, wow.
Just wait until those nude photos of you hit the internet.
Listen, after I hit my eye Friday, I don't know what else happened. There could be. Who knows? There could be some photos somewhere. Wow. And then, meantime, as you recall, one of the not-so-fun facts, he doesn't use protection of any kind.
Right.
Wow. So a woman who had a several-year affair with Tiger Woods has now hired a lawyer. She apparently tried to get pregnant for years by the golfer. She didn't tell him that she wasn't using birth control.
Oh, boy.
That's a new trick. That's never been tried before. She used to try to arrange to see Tiger when she was ovulating. She thought she'd be set for life financially if she could have Tiger's baby. Several other of his mistresses have also said he did not practice safe sex with them.
Oh, my God.
Who could have seen that coming, so to speak?
You know, Chris, I venture to say he is going to have to purchase the same bouquet that Governor Elliot Spitzer purchased for his wife at proflowers.com. Type Stephanie in the box.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I have been having unprotected sex for years with a bunch of hookers and porn stars.
I'm sorry I didn't use a condom bouquet from Proflowers?
Yes, type Stephanie in the box to check out, won't you? Wow. Meanwhile, the real love story, his sponsors.
Oh, yeah, Accenture dropped
What's
him.
That?
Accenture dropped him. And they're the ones who had their slogan as Be a Tiger.
Oh.
Yeah, they're that big accounting firm.
Hmm.
Yeah. So they're going to have to. They dropped him over the weekend.
Yeah, and of course Gatorade dropped him because their slogan is It In You?
Oh, that's right.
Which.
That's right.
Oh, boy. They might want to rethink that.
AT&T and Gillette have, let's just say, distanced themselves. I love these statements. Gillette said, as Tiger takes a break from the public, I will support his desire for privacy by limiting his role in our marketing programs. And AT&T issued a statement offering their... AT&T offered their backing to a point. He said, we're presently evaluating our ongoing relationship with him. Nike is the only one that said Woods and his family has their full support. So, and that's just do it. So come on, Jim. There's no slogan that's safe from Tiger Woods anymore. In a completely shocking breaking news story, you saw Mrs. Sanford filed for divorce from Governor Mark Sanford. Jim, who could have seen that coming? My mistress is my soulmate, but I'm trying.
I'm trying to fall in love with the old skank, but oh, God.
He had me at hello there. Who knew that wouldn't be an icebreaker with the old wifey?
That is so romantical.
That is,
Here's a bouquet.
Let's review. What have we learned over the weekend? Men, you can either have sex with women that are not your wife, or you can have electronic devices. You cannot have both. You cannot have both. Hmm. Mrs. Sanford also found out remember the emails and the texts and things.
Yeah.
Yes, so you're going to be left with nothing but your handheld, if you know what I'm saying. Pick your toys. Pick which toys you want, boys.
Which handheld device do you want to hold on to?
That's Jim's personal favorite. Hi, it's Tiger. Woods.
Hi, Woods, the golfer. You know the guy you've been having sex with behind my wife's back all these months?
Don't worry, baby. We're always going to be together forever, but really secretly and on the side, because it's not like I'm famous or there's anything that could record
this. I'm not being recorded, am I? Oh, crap.
Damn it.
Okay. 20 minutes after the...
As Steve Allen would have said.
Yeah. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack, the Wall Street Bill, and Tom Kenny, SpongeBob SquarePants, joins us live in just a few minutes on The Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation Instant Bitch?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Keith in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Keith.
Hey, Steph and Mooks. Steph, no booze involved. Bummer.
No what? I know. I did that to myself completely sober. Unbelievable, right?
Right. Reason I'm calling is as far as I know, reconciliation has to do with money when they go reconciliation,
right.
And Medicare is money, and they're waiting for, like, the CBO. Why don't they do what Schumer says and just now take the Medicare part out of it, pass the health care bill, then bring Medicare up on reconciliation?
Yeah, I need to get to Governor Chairman Dr. Howard Dean on the phone. Thank you, Keith. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, Jim, is where we're at or what our options are on this now. You know, I mean, you got me how this is going to play out at this point. Charles in Naperville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Charles.
Hey, guys. Listen, well, first off, I hope that I get better, Steph. I follow the lovely Christopher on Twitter. I'm Charles Plath. And, saw that eye this morning, and we're going to send some Pat Robertson healing cell to you right away.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The one thing I'm going to say is Cornel West said it best about Barack Obama a few months ago. He said, is this guy going to be the agent of change that we voted for during the campaign, or is he going to be Black Bill Clinton? And...
Yep.
The thing that bothers me about this is that I was a Republican some years back, but those people don't exist anymore. I don't know what.
Yep.
There's no Republicans left. I basically would call myself an extreme moderate, but I lean towards, I think most moderates lean towards what everybody wants, you know, what Obama presented to the public. And if he knew that this was going to be watered down, why not come out of the gate and say universal health care, forget everything else? And if it was going to be watered down, then we get a private option. I got to assume, though, that every time this man speaks, I mean, he wows me. I got to think, you're too smart. You're not like the idiot we had for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be playing some game to get them to come along. Maybe you're trying to extend your career. I don't know what, but please show me the person we voted for.
Yeah, I mean, Charles, you know, I hear you. And then, you know, as you talk, though, I go, yeah, well, Bill Clinton sure was a hell of a lot better president than George Bush, though, you know.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree 100%. I mean, just in the sense that he played the, you know, he moved based upon some of the polls. And Bill Clinton did a great job. I mean, I will admit, even when I was a Republican, I would say, well, the guy did well. People liked him. You know, stay out of the bedroom. When did Republicans care about this? Oh, wait, when they were co-opted by the religious right. Or was it the other way around? Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then I didn't agree with everything Clinton did either.
Well,
but,
NAFTA,
yeah.
For example. And
yeah.
Robert Rubin.
Yeah, but, you know, it's but Jim, my point is it still was a lot more successful presidency than the disaster we had for the last 8 years. So.
Absolutely, but they did set the tone. You know, it was under Clinton when they started to repeal Glass-Steagall.
Yep, absolutely. You know, the only thing that's going to make anything better now?
What?
SpongeBob SquarePants. Tom Kenny's in the hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Oh, man, Steph, I just got to look at that shiner. Holy cow. you know, I'm in cartoons. I hope to God that you put a big steak over that, just like in the animated shows. Did you?
You know, I asked my brother-in-law as a doctor. He's like, yeah, that's kind of an old wives' tale.
Yeah.
Should I put a steak on it?
Yeah, because trichinosis in your eye will make it even better. that's pork. Never mind.
You said it does look a little Rascals, doesn't
it's
it?
It's a little Rascalsy. You kind of look like Petey, the dog from Little Rascals. Blah, 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 blah.
That's what a girl wants to hear. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with more with comedian Tom Kenny live in the studio and his new song. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
Stephanie Miller.
I am now in total and absolute control. As your ruler, I demand complete servitude and exactly 3 cookies before nap time. That is all.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Wow, Hallmark really does make a card for everything. Ken writes, Steph, congratulations on your subconjunctival hematoma. That's very nice. You are now a real New Yorker. All you need to do is make up a good story about how you got into a bar fight with a bunch of teabaggers. Go on the Ed Show with no eye patch and tell a story how you opened a can of whoop-ass on a bunch of teabaggers who attacked you after you badmouthed Sarah Palin. Good idea, Ken. Maybe I'm supposed to be on the Ed Show this week. I don't think that's going to happen. Oh, boy.
Just wear big Jackie O sunglasses. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. Or like when the Keith Olbermann photoshops, Ann Coulter with the eye patch on.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you should go the whole Nick Fury route.
Hey, you know what show I probably finally can get on, Chris, is
what?
That Red Eye on
on Fox.
Black Eye. On an all-new Black Eye.
We are joined in studio by SpongeBob SquarePants.
Hey, how are you?
And he is actually wearing square pants.
I actually am. Well, I have a square butt. Well, twice in 2 weeks. Again, like I said last week, I feel like this is like some sort of like weird contractual snafu that you're forced to have me on twice.
No, we love having you.
It's like Dancing with the Stars. We have to have him back. He won.
It's Groundhog Day.
Exactly. He's giving us the same dumb answers.
The only thing that will make me and my bloody eye feel better is don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
Aww.
Fire it off, everybody.
Ahoy, everybody. SpongeBob here. Christmas means presents and mistletoe, sharing and caring. So during this most festive season, please, don't be a jerk. Bring joy to the world. It's a thing to do. But the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. There's a sign above the line that says express. That means 10 items or less. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
It's Christmas.
Yay. You can actually see me swaying on the Skype camera.
She's very happy.
I suggest you should do a sequel called Don't Be a Schmuck at Hanukkah.
Don't be a schmuck at Hanukkah. Be nice to host and Weissen.
And what was
for
the other
you.
One? Don't be a racist, it's Kwanzaa.
Yeah. Don't be a racist, it's Kwanzaa. Well, you know, Steph, you're in New York, and I walked into the lobby here in L.A., and I noticed that even the Christmas tree in the lobby was kind of like bent over and scoliosis-y. And it's like, God, even the Christmas tree in the lobby is kind of bummed about the Obama thing, you know?
Yeah.
We had such high hopes.
Oh.
Every tree is a Charlie Brown tree.
Exactly.
Yeah, Tom Kenny, remember back in the magical afterglow. Remember when it was not a new day. What's it called, Chris?
A best day ever.
It was the best day ever. That's what it was. You remember?
Yeah.
The sun came up and he smiled at me. Said it's gonna be a good one. Just wait and see.
I do. I remember. I was feeling so good about it. And then it went.
I think you should sing it in a minor key now.
Exactly. That's right. Like on that old Western, The Rifleman, right?
Yeah, right.
The theme song was da 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 da. But then when the bag goes. Right. I know. It's like I don't know what, you know, when you contrast the heady glow that you had that day with this kind of sick, we were talking on the break, Jim and I, like that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, you know, like for 8 years we all felt like we had a low-grade fever, and I thought we kicked it.
I was a low-grade moron in the White House.
Yeah, I thought we kicked it. And it's not quite as bad like you were saying, Steph, but man, it's a little bit of a drag, I gotta say.
You know, in this healthcare debate, first of all, it's been like watching that Chariots of Fire scene on even slower motion. You're just like, God.
My antidepressants have worn off.
And it's like you feel like we're almost at the tape, and then Lieberman sticks his foot out. No!
Yeah.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
When do we start acting like winners?
Yeah. For it again. Uh-huh. Neener.
You know, I don't... And here's the thing, I feel like he's trying. He really is. Like the Wall Street bill, right? I mean, a good idea, something that needs to happen. We obviously, you know, pretty much any expert will tell you this is how we got here, is this lack of regulation, you know. Mm-hmm. But even that, you feel like got some of the good stuff got taken out, you know, because of special interests.
Exactly, and then you're just trying to figure out, going, you know, kidnapped and replaced with a robot, maybe? It's a theory, like a Man from U.N.C.L.E. episode.
Or maybe he's a CIA sleeper agent.
Yeah, exactly.
The House passed the most ambitious restructuring of federal financial regulation since the New Deal on Friday, aiming to head off a replay of last year's Wall Street failures that plunged the nation deep into recession. The president on Friday.
Even as we dig our way out of this deep hole, it's important that we address the irresponsibility and recklessness that got us into this mess in the first place. Much of it was due to the irresponsibility of large financial institutions on Wall Street that gambled on risky loans and complex financial products, seeking short-term profits and big bonuses with little regard for long-term consequences. It was, as some put it, risk management without the management.
So it had some good stuff in it. It gives the government new powers to break up companies that threaten the economy, create a new agency to oversee consumer banking transactions, and shine a light into the shadow financial markets that have escaped the oversight of regulators. So here's a shock, Jim. No Republicans voted for this.
Huh.
But 27 douchey Democrats voted against it as well.
Thanks for the help, guys.
a victory for the administration, the legislation dilutes. Yep. Some of the president's recommendations, carving out exceptions to some of its toughest provisions. I mean, you know, this is it, you guys. Like, what are we just going to get watered down crap?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, for all of the, you know, the energy and hope that went into this election.
Yeah, forever. And you know, I mean, that's such a, you know, valuable organic resource that you can't squander. You know what I mean? You can't cry wolf on that stuff because, you know, you just lose their will. To fight, you know, and to get let down again, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm not dating anymore. I'm finished. I'm just going to live alone and be a hermit. You know, it's tempting to just turn into that guy.
You listen, that's me. I was dancing with my fireplace mantle on Friday. Even that didn't end well.
I love you, Pipey.
Your Indian name is Dances with Mantles.
Yeah.
You know,
I have a mantle condition.
That's what you need to
exactly
tell people, Stephanie.
It's a mantle condition.
That you have a mantle condition.
Yes, I do have it. Thank you, Tom Kennedy.
Of course, if you'd done it on my mantle, you might have been poked in the eye with an Emmy.
That's Emmy winner, Jay Ward.
Oh,
biker mice. If you had had your stockings hung on that mantle, it would have provided a cushion between your eye and the hard surface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's if I had someone to celebrate Christmas
with. Oh, jeez.
That sound effect is
Stephanie.
Getting a workout this morning.
Oh, my God.
So Barney Frank said, let me put it to the American people. Do you prefer the Republican position of literally doing nothing to rein in these abuses, or should we try to rein them in? The Republicans cast the regulatory bill as a burden to business, Jim. You know, regulations of any kind, you know, they tend to hamper big business. Democrats accuse Republicans of doing the bidding of big banks, pointing to a meeting. They met with 100 lobbyists right before the vote. Huh. I wonder if that affected things in any way. Republicans voted on this. The president again on Friday.
I proposed a series of financial reforms that would target the abuses we've seen and leave us less exposed to the kind of breakdown we just experienced. They would bring new transparency and accountability to the financial markets so that the kind of risky dealings that sparked the crisis would be fully disclosed and properly regulated. They would give us the tools to ensure that the failure of one large bank or financial institution won't spread like a virus throughout the entire financial system, because we should never again find ourselves in the position in which our only choices are bailing out banks or letting our economy collapse.
Or no regulation at all. Let Wall Street be Wall Street.
Yeah, just let them be themselves.
That's right.
Chris, so the liberal blogosphere thinks the president is not being tough enough on Wall Street.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You should have seen Buzzflash on their Twitter feed was going absolutely ape dump. On Obama yesterday.
And Matt
Taibbi. You had to screen your liberal blogosphere tweets over the weekend.
Yeah, I had to
that's enough.
I had to unfollow Buzzflash because they were starting to get quite abusive.
Yeah.
You know, and just filling up my Twitter feed.
I think the problem is, Tom, don't you, that it's just there's so much frustration on so many issues that it's starting to build. I think have we gotten health care done? Have we gotten, you know, I think it's just, it's
yeah, I think it just becomes this kind of insurmountable landfill, you know? I mean, I hope it's not insurmountable, but it's hard not to feel that way. I don't want to feel that way. But you're not going to get any help from the other side, or largely from our side either, which is the real drag. You know, regulations have a tendency to hamper corporate crime, and we don't need that in this country.
Exactly. All right. Two words, Tiger Woods. We will get Tom Kenny's take on all that as we continue. Back to Fluffy Celebrity Stack next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Eight minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined live in studio by SpongeBob SquarePants.
Hey!
Tom Kenny, everybody.
Don't be a jerk, it's Christmas.
Don't be a what?
A jerk.
Okay. Yeah, does there exist, Tom, a version of the adult version, don't be a... It's Christmas?
I don't think we ever laid that down. I think we started to write it as a non-SpongeBob song. We were just trying to write like a goofy, you know, we're saying, hey, let's get some of that grandma got run over by a reindeer dough.
All right. Ursula in Seattle is 10, and she has a present for Mama, what with her horrific eye injury over the weekend. Hi, Ursula.
Hey.
Oh.
My dad and my mom told me that you fell, and they told me that I should send you a glass eye just in case.
Oh, that is so nice.
Thank you.
And you know how Obama has this birth certificate that's like really short and no one believes that he's born in Hawaii?
Yes.
Well, I have the same exact one. Does that make me Kenyan?
Yes, I think it does. Yes,
you are Kenyan. Ursula, can you make sure you send me one that's like a snow globe for an honor? Because at least that'd be fun.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, honey.
I love it. Bye, Ursula. Like a case, like a really fancy case full of glass eyes.
Mm, one for every season.
Yeah, yes, like the days of the week panties.
Yeah.
For like the 4th of July, you could have an American flag.
This is my Tuesday.
Fireworks going on within your
eyes.
Yes. That would be so cool.
Or like a cat eye.
I sense that they've seen the picture, and her parents being... Actually, that's what they do, right, Christopher, in the prosthetic eye business?
I believe so, yes.
They've seen the picture of my eye on the website, and apparently they don't think the outcome looks good. So, I'm getting ready with this.
That guy's, you know, it's a business opportunity.
Hey! Vertical integration.
Hey, Stephanie Miller could wear my glass eye on television.
Stephanie Fell, I think some price gouging is in order.
If not eye gouging. It's late for that.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hey, Sue.
Hey, I was going to make a joke about your eye, and then I looked at it and I thought, oh, no, I just need to tell you I'm sorry and I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
And
we were just joking about
the
eye.
Can I talk to you for a second?
Yes.
Mr. Kenny?
Yes, ma'am.
I have to thank you. As a hip grandma of a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, the only show I let them watch is SpongeBob. And I sit there and I laugh. You're so damn subversive. I love it.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you. So are you.
You know, I am subversive as well. And then they look at me when I laugh, because, of course, they've missed, and they look at me, and they're like, Mima? And I'm like, don't worry, just keep watching.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, my mom is a hip grandma, too. So, you guys are a valuable resource. And, yeah, I think, like, you know, if SpongeBob is doing anything, maybe it's filling that Mad Magazine gap of just, you know, just subtle... subtly undermining things.
Yeah, well, because you know that SpongeBob is really a commie socialist liberal.
But it's also very positive, so it's hard to, you know what I mean? I guess when I say undermining, it's just about, you know, just kind of letting your freak flag fly, which is kind of a great way to go through life. Right, Steph?
All
right,
thank you, Sue. For our family.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
SpongeBob and real sex on HBO.
The Yellow Shoe Diaries, yeah.
So Tom Kenny, you know, a cartoon character extraordinaire, also a devoted husband and father. Your thoughts on the whole Tiger Woods situation?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I mean, you know, I'm pretty boring, thank goodness, but it sure makes me glad that cartoon people aren't real celebrities.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, Jim and I can try to pretend. Oh, 13 women, that's a long weekend for a cartoon guy.
Yeah. Right.
Come on. Oh, my God, you did voices in cartoon?
Oh,
your clothes are so chubby coming off right now.
You know. The guy who did the voice of Fred Flintstone, so many chicks.
Oh, my God, Alan Reed. It's yes. Right, Alan Reed. So, it sure makes you glad that you're not under that...
microscope,
I guess,
yeah.
I guess if you're being so flagrant about it, it's almost like you're trying to get caught.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's almost like the telltale heart where the cops show up and you go, okay, I did it.
The telltale wood.
Oh, by the way, Jim, I forgot to tell you, I had my best star sighting ever in New York this weekend.
Who'd you see?
Guess who? Jerry Seinfeld. Walked right by him.
And you said, he said, who are these people?
No, I told
with the red eyes.
You're a dad. Let me ask you this. Yes. You're a celebrity dad as well. Let me ask you this. I'm not saying he's not a good father, but he was singing a little song to both of his kids, and I thought, I don't know if he's a good father. That's just his technique so that idiots like me don't yell at him on the street.
Wow, I guess. What was he singing?
I don't know. Some little song. But he's like, well, who are you people? I'm in the middle of singing a song to my kids here.
He was doing that weird mouth music that goes into the commercials from Seinfeld.
Yes.
No, because you felt the need to yell, Jerry!
But, Jerry! Well, you know, I've been singled then because my wife is in Chicago for that Second City 50-year,
brouhaha.
Big brouhaha. And, man, I cannot wait for her to get back. I got to say, it's like, I can't do it alone, baby. I can't do it. You know, because you know how we are. We're like successful enough to be working, but not successful enough to have a staff of Scientologists working for us. You know, and so it's like
when can we afford Scientologists?
I need Scientologists in my staff
to tell me what to do and what to think.
What to eat.
By the way, we have someone on the live blog who says, you know, SpongeBob, or the voice of SpongeBob doing political commentary on Steph's show, still holds more import, intelligence, and gravitas than Michelle Malkin does. Is that a sign of how our society is crumbling?
Wow.
Or a sign of just how abysmal Fox's standards are?
SpongeBob is making the most salient political points.
Yeah. I don't know that
political world today.
I don't know that Tom Kenny and gravitas have ever been used in the same. Isn't that like a sauce that goes on like a chicken?
Yeah.
Listen, it passes for gravitas here. All right. So in other celebrity stack news, Alec Baldwin is eyeing a return to school to get a grad degree. He says when he leaves acting, I somehow can't picture him with the hot plate. Studying to get some sort of...
Yeah.
I don't...
He just wants to meet some hot high school chicks.
I can't picture him making sweaty balls while he's in grad school.
Man, that is weird. I mean,
sweaty balls in the hot
It's hard to reinvent yourself when you're a giant actor. Sweaty balls.
Wow.
I can't even
Natalie
comment.
Natalie Portman will star and produce Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes. That was a hit book.
Yeah.
Yes. The author took the liberty of adding bloodthirsty, flesh-eating zombies.
Yes.
Mix.
I think that was in the first
war
draft.
War and Peace and Gnomes, I believe.
Jane Austen and flesh-eating ghouls. I like it.
All right. Pee-wee Herman is making a big comeback. I got to come back for this, Chris, in downtown. Because, as you know, Pee-wee Herman at Mama's Last Christmas Party.
That's right.
Along with Elvira.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I bought tickets like as soon as they went on sale. January 16th, matinee.
Oh, dude.
I'm all over
LA.
The Pee-wee thing.
Yeah.
It costs millions to mount. Those 11 actors, 20 puppets. It marks the show's first production since 1982. He wants to make a film, and so it's running as a show. The Pee-wee Herman Show, a limited four-week run January 12th through February 7th in Los Angeles.
I got to get myself down there and see that.
I would call Ticketmaster now, because that's not going to be easy.
I'm trying to use the phone! Come on. That is the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And they're recommending it for people over 60. But I'm going, you know what? Come on.
Yeah.
My kids live with me. They can go see the Pee-wee Herman Show. Even the slightly naughty version is cool.
Yeah.
Tom, you know, whatever show you're at, there's going to be kids' heads exploding left and right. It's like SpongeBob and the Pee-wee Show.
No, I'm a sleeper agent. You know, it's like the only people that recognize me are the people that like or kids that are like so deep into it that they watch every second of DVD extras.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And, I mean, their fanhood is so intense that it's incredible.
If we were to want more Tom Kenny-ness, well, how would we get it, Tom?
Oh, man. Well, let's see. SpongeBob's going on, keeping on. I do Iron Man on Superhero Squad. I've been doing Rabbit for Winnie the Pooh.
Wow.
You know, still doing Transformer stuff. I do a bunch of voices for Handy Manny, the preschool Disney show. And, you know, I'm pretty much usually heard, not seen. It's a good gig, though, right, Jim?
And the new song is Don't Be a Jerk.
Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas. It's on iTunes.
Yay!
Thank you, Tom Kenny.
Thanks for having me. I hope your eye gets better.
Thank you. Thanks for being had. All right, I'll keep an eye out for you.
Hey,
that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris and Jim and Rebecca. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, Jim.